Hello, welcome to this week's Football Fans Podcast with myself, your host, Jordan Jarrett. Brian on the pod this week, I'm joined by Bournemouth fans, not been on for a little while, Mr. Tom Latchin. How are you doing, sir?
Yeah, I'm all right. I was quite good last Wednesday and less good after Saturday.
Yeah, no, I should have caught you last week, shouldn't I? I couldn't have caught you last week because of the Monday.
No, I know, but I mean, that was so Bournemouth on it, but beating Chelsea at home 4-0 and then losing away to Cardiff 2-0.
Was you there?
I wasn't at Cardiff.
Okay.
I was in Amsterdam.
Okay.
I watched it in a bar in Amsterdam. You know, if I can point out, by the way,
go on.
I'm not a big rugby fan. And,
what really
annoys me is every year during the Six Nations, it's impossible to watch football because of all these sort of once a year rugby fans. And at the start of the game, I was like, get out of my pub. I want to watch Bournemouth play. But then we went 2-0 down and I was like, get the rugby back on. I love England.
But to be fair, that's the same in most sports. When it's Wimbledon, we're all, you know, I love tennis anyway, but most people become...
No, it don't get on my telly. It doesn't get on my telly during football season.
We all watch football constantly.
Football is a national sport. I know I was in Amsterdam, but, you know, generally... Football's our national sport. For 6 weeks in February, all of a sudden rugby takes precedent. And you're like, why? Why is that?
Well, it's not the national sport. It's miles behind football, but it's still a massive sport, to be fair.
I get it's big, but why does it take over every single pub when usually football's on?
And because the pubs know that for that 6 weeks they
can rather than Bournemouth Cardiff?
Let's move on. We also have our Tottenham supporter Scott here with us. Scott, what are you saying?
Hi, Ian. I'm good, mate. How are you? Yeah, good. Very well, thank you. I'm a bit better than Tom because obviously Tom was waiting for that rant. It seems like he's been waiting hours to speak today.
That was the one I prepared. So.
As a Spurs fan, things are going quite nicely.
Squeaking through at the moment.
Yeah, you know, team in crisis, third in the league, and the Champions League still, you know, team in crisis, isn't it? But I mean, you know, scoring scrappy, winning games at the last minute.
With the little shot there, the silencer, and it's, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so we're doing all right. So you know, it's in a title race, which I don't think we are. As I've said, I think.
Well, you're not.
You are.
No, they're not.
Really. Between the top two.
We'll talk about Tottenham a little bit later on. Our third panelist for this week is Akin, our United fan. What are you saying, Akin?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good.
Yeah, I'm enjoying watching my team again.
Thought you would be.
Look, some monkeys have just left my back, man. When that guy left, I just relieved. That's all.
Ruined Christmas.
Oh, you made my... That was the best Christmas. Present I had. The best present I've had. Oh, up Woodward. Keep... No, but yeah, I'm just enjoying watching my team again. It was against Spurs when I had a little moment. It was even 0-0 at the time and I was just like, we're competing again. That's all I ask. It was 0-0 at the time and I said, win, lose or draw, I don't even care. We're competing again.
We're in this game.
Yeah. We're going toe-to-toe against another big boy. That's all I asked for.
And it was, I think as well, you look positive. You know, the full-backs are playing 20 yards further up the pitch.
Everybody's
all right, Rashford's we'll get playing. To United and Spurs and Bournemouth later on. Let's get the show started. Right.
How are you, Jordan?
You said it was all going to be about Bournemouth.
I didn't.
That's why I'm here.
I don't know why I stuttered there, because I'm going.
How are you, Jordan?
Yeah, how are you, mate?
I'm alright, dude, man. I mean, I had that enjoying watching my team for a few weeks, and then it kind of went quickly, as you've had. It's what it is, isn't it? It's a long, long process. I've said before, 2-year job. I'll give them 2 years to get the crap players out, change the culture. So I'm not panicking. It's not great times. I think we'll get 6, as I said at the start of the season, but I'm not panicking. It's all good. And we've got your mob again in a couple of weeks, I think, at the Emirates. On a few weeks. Quite soon we've got your loss.
I don't look out for Arsenal games anymore.
No, you should.
It's not a significant
issue. Let's start the show, guys. No drive-bys this week. I want to get into our first topic. I want to talk about Wilfried Zaha, gentlemen. And I wanted to do him about 6 months ago when he did...
Pardon?
Easy.
Bit of blue for the dads. There you go.
Easy. I wanted to discuss.
He's a very good looking man.
He is. Actually not.
Lovely,
anyway.
Lovely hair.
I'll start with you, Scott. Do you think he is treated unfairly? Because about 6 months ago, he did an interview whereby he complained that he was getting really harsh treatment and no protection from referees. Mm. And in that interview, you know, he seemed quite emotional and he seemed like he was really getting to him. And nothing seems to have changed. Do you feel he gets a raw deal from players in the league and protection?
I don't know. I think it's hard. I think this isn't a new thing for him, for creative flair players to get targeted by, you know, the hatchet men, or there's nothing new. You know, I had it in the 60s. George Best had it to him. Glenn Hoddle was talked about in the 70s and 80s. Ginola had it. You know, players of that ilk, they do get, you know, pummeled by the, you know, the Vinnie Jones and the, you know, the David Batties of this world. So it's nothing new, but the Roy Keane's and stuff like that as well. But it's nothing new. But I don't, you know, these players will get the will get that sort of treatment, and I think that he's right. He's got a fair point, but I think that kind of comes with the territory, unfortunately. I think as a player, I think he's having a bit of a up and down season. I mean, I think I read his stats today that he's played 24 in all competitions. I think he's got 4 goals, 2 assists. I mean, that's not for someone who's supposed to be the best player out of the top 6 teams. That's not absolutely brilliant sort of stats. I mean, he looks amazing. And he's been playing down the centre as well, so you'd expect a few more goals from him. That's not his game. I think he's coming from the wide.
Creator,
yeah, he comes in from the wide, gets in, gets players past defenders and the byline, sort of turn bamboozles, you know, fullbacks, and that's his game. I think it's probably a fair point, but unfortunately, as a flair player like he is,
you have to expect it.
Yeah, he's going to have to, unfortunately.
Is it one thing to Akin accept that you have to expect that kind of treatment and defending and tackles if you're a flair player, if you're a dribbler? I think one thing is to accept I'm going to get some harsh challenges, but isn't his gripe, I don't mind getting these bad tackles, but can we get some red cards out, please? Is that where you think his real issue is?
Yes. I don't even think it's right to accept it. I mean, fouls are not a part of the game. How can I explain it? It's a foul because it's not legal within the rules of the game, right? So we shouldn't accept that he's going to be fouled because he's a attacking flair player. Does that make sense?
No, I'm with you.
So it should be a given that, yes, the referees are serving justice as it should be given, and they're not. And he is treated unfairly, in my opinion. I agree with Scott in that it's nothing new. With English football, it is more physical than other countries. Also, you take into consideration that in our culture, in watching football, we applaud a heavy challenge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. People up. If you see a challenge in the first 2 minutes,
it will get the crowd up.
Oh, it gets everyone.
You know, another thing is that we're a bit contradictory in that, or hypocritical rather, in that we will say, oh, it's terrible for a player trying to get someone booked by doing this. But then we will applaud someone for deliberately trying to injure a player out of the game, which can affect more games and more their career, potentially, in the case of Roy Keane, even, that you mentioned.
Yeah.
So that's a bit hypocritical.
Okay.
And he's got to protect his livelihood. Ultimately, he's got to protect his livelihood.
Mm.
I think the referees were onto him even before he said what he said about 6 months ago, because there was the thing about Zaha diving. I would say he's treated very unfairly in the fact that he's a player that's been booked for diving when he's been fouled.
Not all the time, but on
more than one occasion. So I don't know if there's something against him with the referees where they're like, oh, I think there's definitely something subconscious that they're watching out for him and they don't buy it when he's being fouled. I mean, the other day, in my opinion, was ridiculous.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
I wanted to stick with that. But there was another
player. Can I say that? Ashley Barnes.
Yeah, I was going to say
on the weekend.
Yeah.
Nothing's
screaming.
Yeah, screaming at the ref. Nothing's been said about it by the FA.
It was a bad decision, though, wasn't
it? It was. But Zaha felt his was a bad decision.
Yeah.
And whether the decision's good or bad or not isn't the issue. It's the actual dissent.
Well, again, I want to come back to that in a minute. I want to parallel that with Zaha's treatment last week and when he got sent off. Tom, do you?
He was sent off and he was charged. Retrospectively, he's been charged since.
Yeah.
So it's like double jeopardy almost as well.
Do you think, Tom, that when he did that interview about 6 months ago, when he said, I think after the match today, you know, they've got to, you know, help me out, I get disproportionately treated than every other winger, blah, blah, blah. Do you feel that almost backfired on him? Because I think he thought that might, by saying that, it would highlight to referees, look at what's going on to me, when actually really what's happened now is that I think people see him as a bit of a soft touch now, and then maybe give him more rough treatment. Referees almost think that by trying to flag it up to us, we're going to almost look away to some degree. Do you think somehow it backfired on him?
I don't think so. Excuse me. I think that he's always had a reputation for being very easy to get at. And I went to watch when we played them when Bournemouth played them at their place about 3 years ago. I can't remember when exactly. About 3 years ago, they had he had a running battle with Adam Smith, and the Bournemouth, and he was almost in tears because he felt he was getting a rough ride, and it put him right off his game, and he was very, very easy to play against.
Mm-hmm. Was he getting a rough ride, in your opinion?
I think he was probably fouled, but then, you know, I think probably, I can't remember this. I can't remember whether Smith was booked, but it was just the way he behaved when he was fouled. And by the way, I should point out, he's not the most fouled player this season.
Only Hazard more.
Yeah. Mm. But when you think about...
But he's the second most.
He's the second most, but everything goes through him.
Yeah.
Everything goes through him. Mm. Whereas on the list of top 20, I'm just looking here, and just as an example, there's two or three Bournemouth players in the top 20. We get the ball around much more. Everything goes through Wilfried Zaha. So he's going to be fouled. And you know that if you stop Wilfried Zaha playing, then you stop Crystal Palace. Mm. So therefore, he is sort of, you know, he's a victim of his own sort of success in many ways. And it's just, look, we were singing, cry in a minute, he's going to cry in a minute. And there is very much, you look at him getting sent off the other day for applauding the ref. Petulant, no need for it, keep your head. And this is why I don't think he will ever make a top six side. I genuinely don't think he'll ever make a top six side. There's a reason why he didn't get on at Man United. He's got a terrible attitude. He really has. Of course he gets fouled. Eden Hazard gets fouled every week. Ryan Fraser gets fouled every week. David Brooks gets fouled every week. They get up and they get on with it. Because if you start complaining, you start whinging.
Well, this is why I'm asking, did it backfire? Because I think,
I think he's always been
by whinging,
I think it's always
did he make it worse?
No, I don't think he made it worse. I think he's always been like that. I think he's always been known. And I actually don't think he's very good. I think he's one of the most overrated players in the Premier League.
I think he's alright.
I agree with you that I've never thought he is worthy of a top six club.
I don't think he is. I hate to go on about Bournemouth, but when you support someone,
you have a lot already.
No, but when you support someone, you compare them, right? He has got pretty similar. No, right. We would all say Junior Stanislas is an alright player in the Premier League. He's an alright player, even for Bournemouth. Well, exactly. He's got similar stats to Wilfried Zaha.
Yeah, but stats aren't everything.
What do you mean stats aren't everything? Stats he's got almost everything. The same assists in actually...
And what are we talking? Just
fewer,
this season?
Has had fewer games. No, in his Premier League career, he's got similar stats to Junior Stanislas. Junior Stanislas, I think, has got more assists and just slightly fewer goals in quite a lot fewer games. Junior Stanislas is an okay player. There's no more than that. Wilfried Zaha should be doing better than that.
Who would you take?
Well, that's not
Zaha
a, that's
or Stanislas.
That's a different question.
I know. That's why I'm asking it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that Junior Stanislas is a better player than Wilfried Zaha. He isn't. But is Wilfried Zaha this £60 million player that Crystal Palace think he is, compared when he's got the same stats, pretty much the same stats as Junior Stanislas?
Because
it's
he's
nonsense.
Playing at,
he's overrated.
I think Zaha could make a top six club.
I don't.
What is that based on?
I don't think it's the mentality to be.
What's that based on?
Even
26 goals in 165 games he's got. 18 assists in 165 games in the Premier League.
The stats aren't great.
Okay, so let me ask you, does he star for a top six club in your opinion?
I think...
And if so, who?
Look, Scott made a point that he's not had a very good season this season.
I just read out his career stats though.
Yeah,
rubbish,
fair enough. Fair enough. But he's definitely starting at Arsenal.
I don't think he is. I think between him and Iwobi, it's a much for much. And you've also got the factor in, I think, what
he's
Tom's alluding to.
Are you serious?
When you're a bigger club,
than Iwobi.
Hang on a minute. That's arguable. But what I'm saying is that does he look good because he's at Palace? If you put him in a bigger club, does he do what he does?
In my opinion,
I don't think he does.
In my opinion, he's a good player. And in terms of the attitude thing, I do think maybe he can be got at. But I don't think that, to be honest, with your comment on his attitude, is that based on things that you know? Or based on what you see on the pitch, because
well, I mean it's sort of the same thing. And if you think about what he's like on the pitch, can you imagine what he's like off it?
No, you can't, because people are different on the pitch than what they could be off
the pitch.
I mean,
he seems like his attitude stinks generally. I mean, the fact that he's so petulant that he can't possibly abide when things don't go his way. What's he like off the pitch? I don't know.
Well, you have to ask.
But then many times we hear examples.
Hang on. You have to ask, why doesn't Hazard complain as much?
Because he's a different person. People are different. It's that simple. It's a simple answer. They're different people. Some people do get up in arms about things like that on the pitch. Others aren't. Some people transform.
We hear so many times
that when they cross the white line, they're a different person. Blah, blah, blah. So I don't think we should say by what we see on the pitch is enough to say his attitude is terrible and it's why he didn't make it at United. I think that's quite a stretch.
I don't think his attitude is terrible at all, but I don't think the attitude is good enough to make it at a bigger club. That's kind of where I stand on it. But
I definitely think he's starting at Arsenal. That is definite.
I don't think he won't be.
I think that's an insult. He won't be. He's got potential.
I don't think he won't be particularly special. But my point is that I think there's a mentality that's needed to be at a bigger club. I think he's the main man at Palace and has always been the main man there. And I think that he knows he's the main man. When you're at a bigger club where you're not the main man, can you deliver? And that's why I say at Arsenal.
Yeah, but Arsenal, come on. Come on.
I don't know.
I think he's more of an individualist than he is a team player.
He's
the main man there. And that's where, when you get to the bigger clubs, when you get to top four or whatever, you need to be
a team player.
Yeah, you need to be a cog
so
in the wheel.
So we know, right, that in football recruitment, they take into account an awful lot of things. They take into account stats, which you say aren't important. They take into
don't misquote me. I said stats don't say everything.
Right, fine.
You know that.
They take into account stats. They take into account deeper stats than we currently have to our hands in terms of
data,
that
sprints
sort of thing.
And all that
but they
of, yeah.
also take into account personality. And I know for a fact that Bournemouth, and I don't know about other clubs because I don't follow other clubs, but I know for a fact that Bournemouth have employees who look at the personalities of the players that they're signing. They look behind the scenes, and they've had some mistakes. Of course they've made some mistakes in that. We signed Lee Tomlin, for God's sake. But the point is, they look at their behaviours, the way they... on the pitch, off the pitch, crucially off the pitch, to find out what sort of personalities they're signing.
Mm-hmm.
And are they a personality that is going to fit in with the...
the culture of the club.
And I know Bournemouth, Eddie Howe does not like players like Lee Tomlin, for example. And I could probably add to that Zaha. Now, we know that all clubs do that. I know for a fact Bournemouth do it, but I would suspect the bigger clubs of Bournemouth do it as well. There's a reason why top six clubs aren't knocking down the door to get Walter.
So, again, you gave something anecdotal, something that is kind of common sense in terms of recruitment, and then linked it to probably why he's not at a top six club.
Well, there's a reason why the clubs aren't knocking the door down. What is it?
If he's good as you're saying, Arsenal need a winger.
Hold on. I never said that he's a great player and all that.
No, I'm not saying you did. I'm just saying
he's good enough to get into Arsenal's first 11. And I think he's good enough to get into other
Arsenal's first 11.
There you go. Exactly.
It's not exactly high bar.
And then I also think he's good enough to get into top six squads in the first 18 match day squads. Definitely. And then on his day or in his kind of when he's on form, he could possibly be pushing
but
into
no
first 11.
But no one's paying £60 million.
No, I'm taking Lingard all day.
Why are you taking Lingard? You think he's better than Lingard or not better than Lingard?
I said I'm taking Lingard all day.
No, who's the better player?
If I'm saying I'm taking Lingard, I prefer Lingard as a player.
Based on ability? Or what?
Based on everything. What he delivers on the pitch, ability,
everything. Average person, I don't think, would say that Jesse Lingard is a better player than Wilfried Zaha. But there's a reason that Lingard is at United and a reason why Zaha's at Crystal Palace.
And I tell you what, if you're talking about Jesse Lingard, right? I don't rate him all that highly. He's an alright player.
Yeah,
he's an alright player.
But he's a Man United
but
get 10 minutes.
He's one of a handful of players, probably, I can't think of many more, who've actually come through the United Academy in the last 8-10 years and actually done anything. And I'll tell you what, that says a lot about his mental strength.
That's why I compare
and his attitude.
Yeah, but you know what? To be fair though,
there's no context.
Jesse Lingard,
in
terms of mental strength, he's maybe at the highest level in terms of what I know about him, in terms of how he really struggled as a young boy, being really small.
But that's the point I'm making. But
what I'm saying is Lingard is an extreme case. He is quite exceptional when it comes to his mental strength. In my opinion, from what I understand.
I'm not so sure. Ashley Young's not an exceptional player. He's
you're not listening to what I'm saying. I'm saying Jesse Lingard. I'm not saying the Man United level. I'm saying Jesse Lingard, him as an individual, has exceptional levels of mental strength. Based on what I know, what he's gone through to get into that team and what he had to endure, he's got exceptional levels of that. So for you to compare somebody else to somebody who's at an exceptional level in that area isn't fair. Having said that, Zaha, I'm not saying he's a great player and all that kind of stuff and whatever, but at the same time, you lot are being very harsh. Also, I don't think all these anecdotal evidence saying, "Oh, we do this, we do that for recruitment." We know that. We can't say that is a suggestion as to why he's not being chased down by whoever. We don't even know who's going for him.
I mean, you could say anything about anything. I mean, that's that's what football is about. Unless you know the inner workings of every single club, you can't possibly do anything but surmise and put things together and go, right, this, this, this and this.
Yeah, but don't say
Shaqiri had a terrible attitude. But he, they've obviously seen through that actually he's a smart guy. That he's 13 million quid. He's worth a punt. I don't think anyone's looking at Wilfried Zaha going for the money.
70 million
want,
pound punt. That's what they're 50 to 70.
To be fair, I've not even mentioned prices.
So, that's what they're sort of about. He's on a big contract. Now I would.
And there you go. If prices Spurs, aren't even.
I'd take him, but I'm cheap.
Prices aren't even kind of. They are relative to their ability, but there's so much more to take into consideration.
Oh, of course,
you mentioned the contract, age, how valuable the player is to the team, the club, and the kind of money the club has and all that kind of stuff. So when it comes to prices, I think... Hang on.
But even if we stick on that point, even if you bring the price down from this apparent 60 million price that he's got, I'm not sure many teams take him at 30 million. I really don't.
I don't know. Maybe not. We're not buying anybody ever again.
You guys don't. But it's 30p. I think
if it was 30 million, I wouldn't. If you said okay, I'd take that. I'd have a look at it.
It wouldn't be a bum rush for him, though.
No, not really. I don't think so. But I think.
I think so.
But would who else?
There are many clubs around Europe that will pay 30 million for him. Maybe. I think Dortmund were in for him recently,
right? Yeah, Dortmund
are
looking at him apparently as well, but I don't think they need. I mean, Jadon Sancho's got more assists probably in his season.
Yeah, but who's the other winger at Dortmund?
Sancho and Pulisic, isn't it?
Pulisic, yeah. Who's leaving. So I think they were going to try and get the Zaha to replace
him. Yeah, that was reported, to be fair. But let's go back to whether he's unfairly treated. Let's go back to this, the red card, Scott, last week. Do you feel that that was an example of a referee enforcing discipline and saying, I'm not going to accept you mocking me by applauding me, or was it just being pedantic and over the top? And because it's Zaha, there was an element of, I'm teaching you a lesson there.
Yeah, there are, of course there is that. And I think that there is the rules, though. I mean, if you are, I mean, that we have, I mean, until going back to the rugby point, I mean, this is always a conversation that's always held up, you know, that rugby discipline, you know, the players towards coaches, towards referees and stuff in rugby and other sports is a lot more respectful. There's not this all effing and jeffing. Whereas in football, it just seems to be a kind of thing
just
that's
accepted.
It's accepted. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, something needs to be looked at. But if it was a case of, you know, obscenity. I mean, for some reason, Jamie Vardy screaming, or Ashley Barnes as well, screaming at a referee in their face. All sorts of stuff. They just get pushed away, or they get shown a yellow card, whatever. And it does seem that, you know, for clapping, sarcastically clapping. And then, but maybe he wasn't being sarcastic. Who knows?
Does anyone think he was actually fouled?
Yeah, he was. I think he won the free kick, right? Did he get the free kick?
No.
He was annoyed at something else.
No, I think he got fouled. No, I think he was annoyed because he didn't get the free kick.
Yeah. I think it went the opposite way, and then he just went, oh, brilliant decision,
so,
well done.
Let's go back.
He got booked twice in the same incident.
No, he got booked because I think he thought he was fouled. He didn't get the foul.
We pushed Ashley Barnes.
Yeah, that's why.
Ashley Barnes sprat on the floor near him, but there was a sort of a claim that he might have.
So it was the same incident. He got booked for the same, it was the same kind of incident.
He pushed Ashley Barnes.
He got booked for that.
Hang on, wasn't it Southampton?
It was the Southampton game. What's his name?
Because it was James Ward-Prowse.
Ward-Prowse, that's his name.
So I thought that he thought he got fouled. Didn't get the foul. Applauded the referee.
How he said
done.
It was what happened in that. I think he pushed him or whatever. Got booked for that. And then, because he didn't, he was annoyed about that. Mm-hmm. Well done, ref.
And also, there was actually a tackle before that earlier on. That he was still annoyed about.
But
it goes back to Tom's point about, you know, you've got to get rid of this stuff. You've got to just get on. Like, you know,
but that's easier said than done.
Of course it is. But there's certain players who've got a better temperament. That's what makes them the 1 or 2% better.
But is it? He's not a baby. He should know by now that you have to eradicate that from your game.
It's easier said than done. When you're in the
don't complain then when that happens.
No, because it's not. How can you say don't complain
don't
if
complain
you're getting
either,
unfairly fouled?
No, either accept that you have to change.
So you should be accepting getting fouled.
No, I'm accepting, or disproportionately. Everyone gets fouled.
Either deal with
how you deal with it, or accept it and then get sent off for it. You can't just
okay,
deal with
it's
it.
It's one
then,
thing to say deal with how you deal with it. He does need to work on that temperament.
Yeah, that's what
I'm saying. At the same time, I don't think that alone is why you can't make it at top six clubs. We've seen many players with.
I forget the right.
Do you think
that
the age
crazy.
Of 26
Let me finish.
Is going
Let
to
me finish.
This.
But then at the same time, at the same time, you cannot say, "Oh, accept it," because he's an, or whatever for whatever reason he's being fouled disproportionately. He should say something about it. Nothing's being done about it as well. That's the main issue as well. That's something that really made him make that statement on BBC or whatever. nothing's being done about it. At least if people were getting booked and stuff like that.
Can I bring up Hazard again? He gets fouled more.
Then like, maybe he should talk more.
Yeah, but the
all point, it takes the, is for one of these guys to break their leg crazy.
But the point is, the point is that Hazard has found a way to not let it affect his game.
Yeah, well done.
Zaha needs to kind of find a way to...
I've agreed with you on that. But you can't say accept it. For me, that's nonsense. To say accept it because he's an attacking player or because whatever.
No, I'm more saying deal with it.
Also, I think that it's very easy when we're sitting behind some microphones in an office or wherever we are to say, oh, deal with it. When you're in the thick of the action, when you're doing what you're doing, in the, your adrenaline's at this level, it doesn't matter how many hundreds of games you've played, there's still a certain level of, you know, of emotion that comes into it.
So what's the alternative? He just keeps doing this.
I'm just saying,
you're saying that, you know, if you're in the heat of the battle and these things happen, it's hard to
I've already said he needs to work on it. But at the same time, we can't just say, oh, he should just do it. And it's like a simple thing. It's easier said than done. Maybe he should.
Genuinely. Maybe he should. Because he's clearly got some sort of problem with dealing with this.
Do we know that he's not even seeking some kind of help in
that
sense?
You could say this the whole way through. Do we know? We don't. That's the point of discussion, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't know. But what we do know is, I think we all agree, he needs to work on his temperament.
He's 26 years old. It's not going to change.
And that's a big reason why I don't think...
Cantona's changed when he was older. Yep. It took him getting an 8-month... Bam.
Maybe that's
but it did change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we can't say just because he's a certain age, it can never change. It can change.
It's unlikely.
Maybe it is unlikely.
All right, let's move on, gentlemen. I want to ask you guys, as non-Manchester City fans, let's talk about them for a little bit. I was thinking about this yesterday, watching the game, and I kind of zoned out because I was just you know, groundhog day.
Why was that?
So boring.
When did you zone out?
5 minutes in.
At kickoff.
5 minutes is like 30 seconds. I zoned out when it's
48 seconds, wasn't it?
You said you left the game, didn't you? I mean, you stopped watching, didn't you?
Well, I was at work, so after about 75 minutes, I had to go and do something, which was a blessing anyway. So it was all good. But I want to know from you guys, as neutrals, what would you be more impressed with: Manchester City retaining this Premier League or winning the Champions League? What was, as a non-City fan, for you, would you be like, yeah, that's of the two, the more impressive feat? Go on, Tom.
Probably winning the Champions League, because they haven't done it and they're desperate to do it, and there's obviously a problem with why they can't do it.
They've not retained the league as well either.
No, they haven't, but no one has in the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's not that strange in itself.
Well,
it just shows we've got a more competitive Premier League than we've ever had, certainly in the top six. I mean, I wouldn't say it goes for the whole way down. There's two leagues.
There's a gulf, isn't there?
Really? Two leages, right? Yeah. But we've got, it used to be a sort of the big four, didn't it? And then it's now become a big six. So there's more competition than ever to retain it, which does make it tough. But they've never won the Champions League. They've never got beyond the semi-finals. Under Pep, they haven't even got to the semi-finals. Mm. So
that'd impress you more if they won that.
For me, yeah. And I think it's what they want. I mean, it's clearly what they...
No, clearly, yeah, yeah.
I think it depends as well on how the title race gets towards the end, towards the finish line. If it, for instance, it becomes like a pressure cooker for Man City, and then they suddenly beat Liverpool on the last day, and it's like, Aguero all over again, all that nonsense. I think that could out-trump the prestige of winning the Champions League. But it depends if they get in the Champions League as well, going towards the final. You know, if they trounce Barcelona away or something, or Bayern Munich or something, whatever, they beat those teams handsomely and sort of romp to it, then that would be quite impressive as well. But I think overall they want to win the Champions League, and I also think on the world stage, which is what they're trying to do, global domination, that's more of the prize, isn't it, the Champions League? So, you know, that's the thing that people kind of value, I think, more than anything else elsewhere at the UK.
As a fan of a team that's done both, which for you would you be like, that's the tougher of the two feats?
I think
so. Take Tom's point that the Champions League is what they want, and they've never done it before, not even got to a final. But equally,
why is retaining the Premier League any different or harder than winning it once?
There's some complacency. The teams that come up against you as well, they go harder. There's also the mental part. The complacency can set in. We've already done it. After the Lord Mayor show, whatever that's it. Is that the right saying? Mm, yeah. But after that, so...
You got there.
getting the guys up, I think retaining it is a lot harder. And there is something in the fact that nobody's done it since United did it in 2009. But then, as a United fan, to answer your question, or to answer a different one slightly...
I didn't ask this question, but go on. You ask your own questions and answer yourself. Is that what you're going to do, Akin?
I need Spurs to win the league somehow. It's not going to happen, I know. But I prefer City to win over Liverpool. That's the league.
Listen,
we're not diverting to that. That's not.
But
the
having said, so what's
but,
more?
But,
impressive,
hang on, but I think the two are entwined, and I think that the reason why the reason why they might have taken a level off winning the Premier League is because in the back of their mind they know that the Champions League is what the owners want.
But I don't know if they have taken a level off or if the other teams have just kind of stepped up a bit against them in the games against them. Last season it was embarrassing from everyone. In that it was all like a, oh, look how great they are. Mm. And in teams, before they'd line up against them, they were just kind of in admiration of them. I think to an extent that's, teams are trying to, maybe that even just that 1 or 2%, trying a bit more against them. I think that's part of it. But then, I think I agree with Tom in that winning the Champions League has to, of the two, for them, in what they want.
Well, I forget what they want, which is the harder, I'm asking. Which is the harder feat.
The Champions League, you're going up against
better teams.
The best teams in Europe.
Well, that's the caveat, because you can get to a final and not play the best.
But they will. With what's left, they will. With what's left in the competition, it's likely, very likely they will.
Tournament football's a bit different, because you had an England, a very average England team, get to the semi-finals of a World Cup. So it's in that respect.
Whereas in the Premier League, you have if you've got five other good teams to beat, but you've got the different types of football.
Okay, so what are you asking? Are you asking general what's harder or
what's harder?
What I mean, before you said what's more impressive for City to do
now? I'm asking what's harder.
Okay, what's harder is the Premier League
to retain that.
Yeah,
Tom.
In general, definitely. 38 games versus 13.
I think Man City will win the league this year, right? So by that score, I think it's harder to win the Champions League than to retain the Premier League.
Scott,
I thought, like yourself, actually, remember talking about Man City, we thought where they'd transit.
I said by 10 points.
Yeah, and I said a similar thing. I think we agreed. And it's we're kind of looking a bit foolish at the moment, aren't we?
I'm sticking with it. I'm hanging on.
But maybe not the 10 points, but I would obviously, it's a thing about Liverpool, isn't it? Because I grew up, I'm of an age, I'm 40, so I'm of an age where during the 80s, they were the big side, and I used to have to all my friends crowing who were Liverpool fans from East Anglia, because of course they'd support Liverpool. But it was just they'll be insufferable if they win, I've got many friends with Liverpool fans, and I don't dislike them that much, but is that thing where
I struggle to say
if they win, it'll be like, oh god, they just will not stop crowing about it, and rightly so. You know what I mean? It's been 30 odd years, whatever, since they've won the league, and they've really wanted it. And I think that if they do the Steven Gerrard slip again, I will.
Oh yeah, that'll be wonderful.
I would laugh a little bit, I must admit.
That'll be wonderful.
Yeah.
Tom doesn't give a doubt. So Tom, let me ask a different question now. Considering they were at one point, I think about a month ago, 7 points behind Liverpool. If they went on to win the league from that point, would that be more impressive than winning the Champions League from here in? 7 points behind.
7 points with 14 games to go, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not a great deal.
It's not a lot.
Well, chasing a team that's at that point had not lost a game?
Yeah, but they've got a horrible
Liverpool had lost a game.
Who beat them this year?
I can't remember, but they had lost a game.
It was City.
No, yeah, it was City, yeah.
Yeah, before that, that was what cut it to 4 points.
They've got a horrible injury crisis now in Liverpool, haven't they? And I do...
defence, yeah.
I get a fee. I do get... everyone has a wobble. Like, everyone does. Yeah. Everyone, apart from Arsenal and Invincibles, and they actually drew loads of games. So, it would be remarkable if Liverpool went through the season with those injuries, with the pressure that it's going to bring,
coming,
and the inexperience for them to do it. Now, they might do it, and that, you know, if they do, wow, fair play to them.
Play to them, yeah.
Congratulations, good for you. I just feel that Liverpool...
There's a moment coming.
I think there is. And I know that Man City losing to Newcastle every week was a huge surprise, and you would have thought, well, that's it. But it wasn't.
Mm.
And so I do just think, oh, Man City, they like a bit of pressure, and actually when the pressure's on, when it's easy, I think it might be more of a struggle for them. When the pressure is on, I think that they might well keep it up. And
I think Liverpool are absolutely... I mean, this team, especially saying before we start recording, I think they're one of the most boring teams to watch in the top six, if I'm honest.
Who?
I think Liverpool, I think they're really, really dull to watch.
You know teams.
And
right?
I think so Jurgen Klopp's a bit of a fraud.
Funny enough, he's not a fraud.
I think because I was looking at him in an interview the other day, and he reminds me of, like, you know, like the kind of trendy sort of like supply teacher who comes in and goes, "Hi, don't call me Mr. Klopp, call me Jurgen."
I'm
like, yeah, exactly. I'm one of the cool guys. I like all your new music, you know, all the new tunes and stuff. I go, no, mate,
he does come across like that.
He's trying too hard. Exactly. You know what I mean?
But then if we're related to that, he does actually teach. Well,
I certainly think that Jurgen Klopp.
He backs it up.
Yeah,
I certainly think that Jurgen Klopp, if things start to go badly for them, he will lose it. He hates it
and won't get charged
when he's winning. He's great. Everyone, you know, he's everyone's best friend. He's fantastic. But you even saw it the other week when they were when they drew against Leicester, talking about the snow. Yep. And you know, when West Brom beat him last season, West Brom have gone down. Yeah, you know, why should they be? And you're like, this football. Yeah. Like, just because they've gone down doesn't mean they shouldn't play theirs. He's got a horrible side, and when they start doing badly, it comes out.
Yeah, the rules come off.
If they start to do that, you will see. He is clearly a great manager. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt he's a great manager. And he's done very, and he's done excellently well. In fact, someone was saying to me the other day, you know, every now and again there's a team that comes along and you're like, make you love football. That was Liverpool last season.
Last season they were amazing.
Last season was fantastic.
So I don't think the points that they had to make up was insurmountable.
No, and they've come up from worse than that one.
I don't think it will be one of the greatest comebacks either. Not at all.
I think it will.
Liverpool are going to drop points. Mm-hmm. It's just whether Man City drop more or the same amount. They just need to make up.
The thing that worries me is, as a neutral that wants more so City than Liverpool to win the league, is when I watch City play in the last 2 or 3 weeks, even the games that they've won, I don't look at them and think, that's the team that's going to be champions. They're getting the job done, but I don't see it.
And a lot of the time, that is what makes up champions.
Yeah, of course.
The teams that get the job done, even when they look rubbish or average.
Yeah, to a degree. But
when it comes we're in February, March, April. We'll see what Liverpool are made of, and we'll see what.
If Liverpool employed from here on and City win the league, what would be seen as the bigger embarrassment? The slips.
It's not insurmountable. They were ahead in the league, I think, late into April. That slip came mid to late April, so right?
Three games to go, I think.
Yeah. And then, come on. And then they went 3-0 up against
the
Palace.
The gap was like 2 points.
It was made worse by the comments that Joe had said, you know, 2 days before, didn't he?
Don't let it slip, boys.
And it's like, you know, sort of like, that's brilliant. You couldn't write that, you know what I mean?
I think that'll
be a lot worse.
That'll be worse.
I mean, this will be pretty bad, because when they went to Man City and they set up to draw, basically, and they lost, right, 2-1, they could have gone.
It's almost a free hit, isn't it?
Yeah. Were they 7 points clear? They could have gone ten points clear. Yeah. And then, for me, there's no way back in that title race. I just don't think there is. But that was a big error on Jurgen Klopp's part.
So if they slip up, you think that might be the game he might look to?
Yeah, because it's now 4 points, and actually that's just 2 draws.
Well, Liverpool City could be top by Wednesday.
I mean, this could look very old, this podcast.
It could be quite dead.
It all looks stupid. But, you know, point being is, Jurgen Klopp, I think he made an error there by going to Man City and setting up defensively and rather than doing what they've done so well in the previous seasons against Man City, is going for it. And Man City don't like it.
No.
And they sort of flap a bit and then they get a result. And then you're 10 points clear, you're like, pretty much home and hosed here now. But as it is, it's 4 points.
But to be fair to Jurgen Klopp a little bit, is it a little bit of a lose-lose for him? Because if it had gone to the Etihad and been solid and been, that had gone for them and still lost, people would have said,
but it's not lose-lose because he could have won.
I know, but I'm just saying it's not lose-lose. What's been Liverpool's strength this season?
Yeah, being a bit more compact and
It's an indictment, though, that their left back is probably the best player of the season, isn't it? I mean, he's probably the player of the season, Robinson. So it's like, it's, you know, that if that's
their well, and also, the, and also their Liverpool were going up season, against so. The Man City, who had company at the back, who was like, he looked well off the pace.
He
after
did.
His injury.
He didn't look great.
They didn't have a.
They weren't playing they well. I think they came off 2 losses as well, right?
No, they're playing that young. Danilo.
So they didn't really have a proper left back, and it was they were there for the taking, and he set up with like Henderson, Milner,
and there's like Ronaldo, three kind of defensive.
If they did go 10 points ahead, which is an if they went 10 points ahead, then you could have said, and then City did come back to win the league. That was a bigger.
That'd have been a super embarrassment then.
Yeah, a bigger choke than 2014, I think it was. But they didn't. And that game was still factored into the fixtures when there were 7 points ahead. City won. They went 4 points behind, or, you know. So, to me, it's not into... And that was in January. There's still so much football to be played.
No, but I'm just factoring in how Liverpool have been all season.
Yeah, so but...
I mean, you're chasing...
All
you're
season
chasing
is
a
half
team.
A season at that time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I accept so, that. I accept that.
It means very little. I'm a United fan. I've seen us get clawed back by City. I think we were 6 games to go, 8 points ahead. And we choked.
I loved it.
You lot have caught us up. 98. That one hurt me the most.
We did.
We were 12 points ahead. You lot had 2 games in hand or something.
Yeah,
but
don't. It hurt me most. Because say, that's a season where Arsenal won it. At,
they won
the
double.
Hutt Lane, yeah, it was brilliant.
No,
yeah.
I'm not even talking about that season. I'm talking about the 98 season when they won the double. That was the year we were, I think, 9 or 12 points ahead.
We went
at
your ground, didn't
we? No. Oh, you no. didn't win it at any grounds, anything like that. You just won the league. It was 2002 when they won it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Who's going to win it?
Our ground in 2004. I don't know. Who's going to win the league? Mm-hmm. City.
Tom?
Yeah, I think Man City might win it.
You know, put him in. Scott?
I would have... I'm going to just be contrary. Yeah. Yeah. What? No. no, I'm going to be contrary just to, you know, just to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to say Liverpool by the skin of their teeth.
And City then, have got a harder run in.
Yeah.
But I do think the City perform better when they play.
I agree. Yeah. You know, what's harder teams. A hard run
and,
in?
And Liverpool, yeah, that's true. Seen against, you know, Leicester and then at Wolves, they would, you know, got, they won, but it was tight.
Yeah.
I can see, all it takes is two of those not winning and just being a draw. Man City.
And the thing is, City just lost at Newcastle. Nobody saw that coming. And Liverpool have got at least two of those coming. I really do think so. Yeah.
Well, they're playing as we're recording this podcast.
Well, West Ham, right?
West Ham. So.
I think they'll be all right with that one, to be honest with you.
I think so too, but West Ham are one of those really weird teams.
Yeah, they can just turn up.
The big boys come to their ground. They like to just, that's their cup final.
Yeah, that is, isn't it? Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, you know more than anyone. Whenever they play you, you're more, they raise the game. All right, let's move on to, let's have a quick discussion, guys, about who we think or the candidates, and we're trying to agree on a winner for the Young Player of the Year. There's no point discussing the Player of the Year because I think that's pretty much wrapped up by Van Dijk, unless Liverpool bottle it and City win the league. Start with you, Scott. I'll go through some names of some players I've got down here. So, Brooks, Madison, Bellerin, Torreira, Guendouzi, no, won't be taking him off. Rashford, Martial, Rice, Richarlison, Neves, Gibbs-White, Alexander-Arnold, Gomez, Wan-Bissaka. Who are the two or three that stand out from that list? I've deliberately not included Sané, Ali, and Iwobi.
Yeah.
Why have you not included Sané?
I don't think he has had the level of consistent performances that the others that I've mentioned there have. He didn't play for the
but
first,
if we
like
want to mention
games.
Them, we can, right?
No. You can't, actually. I'm banning those three.
I think, obviously, because of the... you had the World Cup, obviously, as well. You know, Alexander Arnold at Liverpool's had a good season. I mean, he's injured now. A lot of those players you've mentioned there, some of them injured. Brooks, as we said before, has been fantastic. especially, I think that game against Chelsea alone, you know, he was unplayable. He made... He was like Hazard-esque sort of thing, but, you know, fantastic. I think he's been absolutely brilliant all season. Tom probably shed more light on that one than me. But there's some. I was looking at the under 18 England's team, and there's some absolutely fantastic players coming through. It was in the paper today, the best of players to watch in the future in the world, like rest of the world team. And then you had the England team. There's some fantastic young players in there. But from what I've seen. Most of it, I would say. I think Gomez has been fantastic as well. Liverpool, I think he's absolutely. I think he's solid. You know, he can play midfield. He can play centre half.
He can't be a young player of the season. He's injured now.
He's not really. Yeah, enough. I know.
And
I know.
He won't play until right near the end of the season.
Exactly. And Declan Rice, obviously at West Ham, has been fantastic. I mean, he's probably dragging that midfield for them and making them look. And he also is a bit of a fan's favourite as well. Isn't
he? I think he's been overrated.
But I mean, he playing a very average side, you know. And it's poor Jack Wilshere's injured again, so he's getting more game time, isn't he? Poor, obviously, couldn't happen to a nicer bloke. But it's yeah. I think with Declan Rice, I think he's getting more game time, and the more he gets playing, sort of, like, I think he's going to be a player to watch. I think, in, you know, nothing new there. But I think for me personally, the players I've seen, Anyhow, with Brooks is my little shout, I think.
Tom, tell us about Brooks, and is he leading that race for you?
No, because he plays for Bournemouth, quite simply. I don't think that the young player of the year will come from...
How much is it? £3 million from Sheffield.
£12 million. I want to know who you think.
That David Brooks, given that he'd only previously played 30 times in the Championship before making this step up, and his stats are pretty decent. He's played
better than Zaha, hasn't he?
22 times. They are better than Zaha. Yeah. He's played 22 times. He's got 6 goals and 4 assists. And the level of maturity he shows as a young player. I mean, you know, compared to some of the others, he's not all that young. I mean, I think he's 21. So, but given his lack of experience, he's never played in the Premier League before. Mm-hmm. I think that he's showing that he's got an amazing shout for it. I'll come back to him in a sec. I don't see how you can say that Sane isn't among the running. I mean, he's had 22 games, scored 8 goals, and got 9 assists. Yeah, but he's got 9 assists and 8 goals from 22 games.
How old is
games.
He? I thought he was like 26.
He's about 21 or 22.
Yeah, 22, Sane. I think.
Sane's 22. Yeah, he's young, man.
23 now, but you can get it for 23. Marcus Rashford as well.
Yeah, Rashford, yeah.
Is having a great season. I think he probably will miss out because he had a poor start to the season, which actually wasn't his fault. No. Jose Mourinho's fault, but...
Ruben Neves as well.
Ruben Neves did very well. But as far as David Brooks goes, I went to the Chelsea game last week and he was fantastic. Ryan Fraser, by the way, he's probably not the young player.
Is he
26?
Under?
Yeah, he's 26. He's having a great season, by the way. He should be signed by someone like Spurs or someone like Liverpool because he's happy to sit on the bench. But when he comes on, he's dynamite and he's a great team player. I don't know why I'm trying to sell our best players.
Reminds me like a quick John Spencer.
He's fantastic. He's fantastic.
There's a name for the
difficult, really difficult to play against. What I say about David Brooks is it's a joy to watch him. He's probably, I would say, and I've been supporting Bournemouth for, I'm 36, so I've been going for 33 years. He's the best player I've ever seen playing for Bournemouth.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He's he's tiny. There's nothing to him. Can you imagine how good he's going to be when he bulks out? And in fact, I rang the sports bar on TalkSport on the way home from the game.
I heard that actually.
And I said this to like Perry Groves and Adam Cutshaw. I was a bit annoyed actually because they said, "Oh, what about Brooks?" And I talked a bit about the game and they said, "What about Brooks?" I said, "He's fantastic. He's a brilliant player." I said, "I tell you what, he could be." I can't remember the phrase I used, and maybe the phrase I used was wrong and encouraged them to take the mickey out of me. But what I meant to say was he could have as big an impact on the game, I think, as Gareth Bale. So Gareth Bale is obviously Welsh, so they've got that in common. But Gareth Bale, I know he was a left back when he started, but David Brooks has got better stats in his first season. He's tiny, and when he grows and develops, which he will do, because Eddie Howe will get him in the gym and build him up like he has with Ryan Fraser, who again there's nothing to, and now he's this stocky little, you know,
yeah,
little
terrier, isn't
exactly.
He? Yeah.
When David Brooks sort of fills out, which he will do, I just can't. He'll be so dangerous.
So tell us, someone that watched him every week, what's the one biggest asset? What's the one thing that he's got? Roger?
Vision. So then they took the piss out of me and they laughed and they went, "Hey, someone's had a drink," and then they cut me off. And I wasn't able to explain and add to my point, which was...
How drunk were you though?
I'd had a couple. But my point was, I'm not saying they're the same player. And then Perry Groves goes, "Well, you know, he hasn't got the same pace as Gareth Bale." Well, that doesn't make him any, you know, doesn't necessarily make him a worse player because they have different attributes and different skills. Yeah. And what I wanted to say was just the vision of the guy, the maturity of the guy. I mean, his goal against Chelsea, most players would have hit that first time, but he didn't. He waited, he cut inside, and he just rolled it past the keeper. And you're like, "You're 21, you've only played 22 Premier League games." Mm. That's amazing. Yeah. And I think that he will go on and play for one of the top teams in England. Possibly not next season, because I think it would do him good to stay at Bournemouth for another year. Mm. But he deserves to play for a bigger side than Bournemouth. And he will play for a bigger team than Bournemouth. His future's not at Bournemouth. He's that good. He'll play for one of the top teams in the Champions League, if not here, then abroad. And I can genuinely see him having as big an impact. I could see him, honestly, this is maybe me going over the top, but what I've seen of him from such a young age, and he's tiny, and there's nothing to him, I could see him playing for Barcelona. Like the way Ivan Rakitic plays for Barcelona. He's definitely got the ability to be as good, for example.
His ceiling's that high, you're saying?
Yes.
fair enough.
That was wow. That was a lot.
That was
a, I had a dream speech. That was
I'm his agent.
Akin, who I've mentioned some people that I'll mention them again. Richarlison, Torreira, Madison,
Torreira.
Even.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, like, from Arsenal. Yeah. Isn't it?
He is.
Yeah, no, he's not in there.
He's not in there.
He's done all right, but
in the convo for best young player of the year,
not for me.
Okay,
he's done all right.
So who for you are the couple of standout young players for you?
Unfortunately, Trent Alexander-Arnold. I think he's had an outstanding year. Defensively, maybe not as solid as he could be, but maybe that will get better with the right coaching and so on.
He's 19-20 in here as
well.
He's very good. I like him.
And the other fullback for that team. Robertson, Andrew Robertson.
He's not a young player.
Oh, he's not in there.
He's 26.
Oh, really? Oh, my mistake. So, yeah, sorry. Alexander Arnold. Ruben Neves has had a very good year as well. David Brooks. I can't follow that. I don't want to. Got a bit awkward.
I don't think David Brooks could.
It got a bit awkward.
I'd have him at Spurs, I think. And we're looking at him.
He's a lovely looking lad as
gosh.
But, I think, Mark, we're calling for this a bit early. Being early February, but I think if Marcus Rashford carries on in the form that he's shown over the past month, he has to be in the shout for it as well.
So you know what's funny? Over the course of the whole season, factoring the whole season, I actually think Martial's been better than Rashford. Factoring the whole season, I think when Martial's played this year, I think he's been better. Rashford has been dynamite post-Jose, and he scored a couple of goals when Jose was there. But I think Martial's performances, I've not seen him have a bad performance this year. He's not always been 9 out of 10.
You're talking about from now, though. I'm saying if Rashford carries on in what he's been doing over the past month. Mine was a big if, there was a caveat to it. Granted, if you're saying now, potentially Martial has been better because under the last manager, his level was way above, because Rashford was doing very poorly. Not very poorly, but he was struggling.
Yeah.
In his confidence, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was struggling for a little while under the last manager. But it is a struggle for me at the moment. I haven't really considered this, but I would say probably the lead runner is Liverpool right back.
All right, so I'm gonna let's try.
The problem is, of course, is it's not done over the course of the season because they it's so
March.
Bloody early.
It's
ridiculous.
I think it's March.
Are they looking at pushing that back? I mean, the reason why it was done because obviously they had to post their, you know. It was a bygone.
What is this? 1941.
Hold on. I'm not defending.
No. I know you're not. I'm just saying.
But I'm saying. You didn't even let me finish.
No. That just angers me. When I, do you know what I mean?
But I'm asking.
Okay.
With us being in a digital age, are they looking to push that back?
It might feel like 1941 after Brexit weekend.
No, this is true.
Yeah. Okay. So let's. There's six names. The five that I've got, and then the last one I can't agree on. Wan-Bissaka, is he a fair shot?
Oh, yes, I forgot about him. He's definitely in there.
What's that face for, Tom?
I mean, you can't possibly say that he's better than any of those players that we've just been talking about.
I think Wan-Bissaka, Madison, Neves, Brooks.
Madison's had a quiet few weeks as well. He started the season well, he's faded. Neves, fantastic.
Alexander-Arnold, and then I was struggling for the last one.
Did you have Rashford there? Or are you still thinking...
I'm still... He's got to finish the season strong to make up for the first half of the season.
It's sad for me because when he was when Jose was there, and I was kind of still wish he was for obvious reasons. That when Rashford was actually kind of like, you know, really lowering that confidence, I was thinking, please, Spurs, please just take a little cheeky 60 million quid.
But Jordan and I know someone that was begging to take Martial to Chelsea.
Really?
Yeah. But I mean, there was a few people sniffing around, didn't
it? Because the rumour was that Jose wanted to swap Alderweireld for Martial, wasn't that? That was the rumour.
At the time, would have suited probably both teams.
No, it wouldn't have. Getting rid of Martial would never have suited United. So, no, it wouldn't have suited us. Never. It wouldn't have suited. No, it wouldn't have.
I mean, you still got Phil Jones, so you're all right.
We needed a defender. We didn't need to get rid of Martial. No way.
So, let's get to some kind of agreement, guys. The two most popular names, it seems, are Alexander Arnold and Brooks.
Yeah, that's I think so.
Of the two,
I can't go against the impassioned speech from
Abraham
Lincoln over here.
By the way,
what is
even more impressive about David Brooks is last year he got glandular fever and he was out for 3 months. Okay, so that was that was why we got him. Because
if you like him so much, why don't you marry him?
I'd love to. But that's why we got him, because if he hadn't been out for 3 months, his stock would have risen. his price would have risen.
Okay.
But it didn't. We obviously had eyes on him for a long time, and then he, you know, obviously
isn't
came
he
back.
He's actually English, isn't he? He's born in.
He is from Wakefield.
Yeah,
but his granny's Welsh. I think we're going to rue that. He played for England at the Toulon tournament. He was the player of the tournament at Toulon.
So why didn't the English FA kind of pursue that?
I think he feels Welsh. I mean, who knows? But I honestly don't know. But he said he wanted to play for Wales, and he plays for Wales. But I mean, he did play for England at Toulon. It's a shame that we didn't keep him, because I think he'd be up there. But yeah, he got glandular fever, which is really debilitating for a young person. And so he was out for a long part of last season, which makes his taken to the Premier League even more impressive.
The boy's done good. Brooks?
Yeah, Brooks.
Trent Alexander-Arnold.
I'm kind of with you.
He was fantastic. He's a fantastic one and two player. For me. I do like him a lot. I think when you watch him, I think he reminds me of really, like, you know, Kyle Walker Kyle Walker's been kind of average.
I've never rated Kyle Walker.
But about 18 months when him and Rose on either side of our wings.
Either of them, I just thought they're both runners.
Well,
they're
okay.
both athletes.
Alexander Arnold's all. The thing he's a lot better than Kyle Walker, in my opinion.
He can defend. That's what I like. Of so many fullbacks. Can't defend.
No.
Great going forward. Great. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
Just hold a line first and foremost. Stop a cross coming in first and foremost. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Tuck in first and foremost.
That sounds like Jose talk, that does, doesn't it? Do you know what I mean?
He loves him.
I don't love Jose.
He loves him. Don't let him.
I want defenders to
this
defend.
Bandwagon jumping.
Is that so crazy?
If Emery, just out of curiosity, if Emery sort of for whatever reason decided to go, would you take Jose as manager?
Let's move on.
Would you? No.
Let's move on.
Jordan, would you?
So.
He would.
Akin.
The politician's answer.
He would.
Akin.
I'm telling you, he loves him. He loves him.
Because it's a stupid question to ask.
Why is it a stupid question?
Why would I want Jose Mourinho at my team?
So then no.
Why?
So just say no.
Because it's not even worth an answer.
So say
who
no
wants,
then.
Who wants Jose?
Why?
Who wants Jose?
Even on a podcast.
Akin knows what he's doing. I'm not falling for it.
Listen, all you had to do was say no. The thing is, I used to think this man was a Chelsea fan with how much he loved that guy.
We're not going to get into this. I didn't love Jose.
Loved him.
Didn't love Jose.
In love with him. Adam Brooks.
Let's have a brief chat about... easy. about Spurs and...
His name's
United
David.
Or Dave, if you're close to him.
Exactly.
Spurs, first of all, what's going on? No sign-ins.
Yeah.
A few key players out.
Yeah, it's sort of crisis club, third in the league, as I said, Champions League.
Are you concerned that Ismob over there might reel you in?
No, I think now after the win at the weekend, we're winning ugly at the moment. Watford, I was at the game, I've got a season ticket, so I waste my money at the weekends that way.
Big wasting.
Yeah, exactly. £5.30 a pint as well, anyway.
You should do drugs.
Who said I didn't? That's what I go to Sports Tottenham.
Get you through.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I think they do it at West Ham. Have you been there? Yeah, crikey. Yeah. Christ,
it's a requirement.
Exactly, yeah. It's always a white Christmas down there.
Football class.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I
don't say it, Tom. I can see you.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Anyway, moving on. We've been ugly. We're kind of lucky to get a win. We're dominating these smaller teams, and yet, like Watford and Newcastle, respectively. But we're just not getting over the line with the goals. Obviously, missing strikers. Son coming back is a godsend because we looked toothless. Llorente, oh god. First touch, touch like a trampoline. Bless him. But that's good that he's come back. Midfield, Sissoko's. I don't think I've been on since Sissoko's been sort of. I think transformed into a 7 out of 10 player.
He's been good.
Mm-hmm. He breaks things down. Winks is kind of doing. He does he's trying to do like the kind of Modric pirouette, but just not as good as Modric. You know what I mean, but he's still coming along nicely. Things are kind of okay, just bubbling along where we need to be. I mean, obviously the two cups, which I'm sure you'll be like to highlight as well.
But as you have
quick succession, which is quite annoying. Obviously, Chelsea and that penalties.
You know what? Spurs. I like Spurs and I like their manager. You lot should have done us.
Yeah.
In the semi-final last year. Pochettino, with some of the things he said, I don't believe he means any of that.
No.
Obviously, but he's just made himself look like a bit of an idiot.
I think he does.
Because I don't think he means, you don't go into a game not wanting to,
No, of course not. No, okay, yeah.
And I think even the strength of the teams that you put out, they were quite strong sides against Chelsea. He wanted that. So for him to say, oh, it's not important, I think it was just sour grapes. But then at the same time, I do think going into those games, the players do carry that a bit. In a sense that it's not as important as the league.
Well, the players do sort of like, They kind of almost like an extension of Pochettino. I mean that in the sense of like their mentality and the way they look at
it's a good thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so what like, you want from the manager.
I think so. But sometimes when that's a negative influence, that can be a problem. I mean, I've got to say this now. If only we could have someone who could take a corner and beat the first man, Christian Eriksen. Obviously, you don't see it as much, even from the highlights, you won't see it. But time and time again, I think he's a fantastic player. But it just crosses. I mean, it's a simple thing. Even if you float the ball into the middle of the
Kicks. He's one of the best, but corners, he is
really appalling.
The first man. To the point where I thought it was a tactic. He was trying to hit the first man. He'd worked on some kind of drill whereby he headed it in the near post. And if like, not, why does he always hit it
always.
To the near post?
And it's like, it's just it's kind of like, to the point where you're getting Trippier out there to do it. And Trippier's 50% at times.
But he's a good dead ball specialist.
He's all right. Apart from penalties.
In a word, will Poch be there game one next season?
I think so. I think we've got another season out of him. I think then we'll see. I mean, it depends on also what him and Daniel Levy decide to do over the summer when the place finally does get opened. I said to you before we started recording, I went there yesterday to walk around the place, and it's looking very, very impressive. It's looking absolutely amazing inside. It still looks a little bit like it's good. Maybe the rumours are, I spoke to a couple of people on the site. The rumour is the Crystal Palace game on the 15th or 16th. That weekend is the one they're going to try and open
of
it up for.
Of March,
yeah. So it's like 5 weeks.
Why not just wait till next season?
Well, yeah, I don't know why he did that in the first place, honestly. But what's annoying is, because when we got the season tickets, we had to pay a premium higher price because we're going to the new stadium. That was kind of the deal that was in. But now we're going to Wembley. And it's a real pain, because what you do is they sell you back your ticket. You then have to rebuy the ticket back and then print it off, and then you walk in there and you've got people who are fiddling around with it, trying to get it through the turnstiles, and it's a real. I mean,
I'd love to know how much this has all cost Tottenham.
They reckon it's about 150. Yeah,
no, not the stadium. I mean, the delay. Because
the amount of money
they will have lost on corporate hospitality that they'll be getting through the door themselves. I mean, they're having to pay £500,000 for every single game they play at
Wembley. That's why they're rushing it through, is trying to get it.
And a lot of fans aren't going. And what's happening is when they're giving the money back to you for your ticket, what they're doing then is they're, people would rather get them buying their ticket back and going to the game, what they're doing instead is keep that money in the little bank thing. So when, for next season, they can just buy their season ticket. They're not going to the other game. So, because it's, you know, like.
Attendances are dropping now.
I don't know how many we had, and there was like, I think it was the most empty seats in a stadium at the Watford game. I mean, that was bitterly cold.
I'm
going to
say it's admirable that Spurs admit that they get terrible crowds at Wembley.
Well, it could mean that it's even worse than what they're saying.
Arsenal say it's 59,000 every game.
But you can't. Like, well,
what are you insinuating? They say 60,000, then there's 60,000.
Why would they lie? Okay. Why would they lie?
Yeah. No, but it could
but
mean
you can see it.
It could mean Spurs' actual numbers are even worse than what they're actually reporting.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what they say.
The blow.
Yeah, I don't know if they can do that because they're shareholders and
I
stuff.
I
say, like
I
that,
went to the Spurs
you went
game.
To the Bournemouth one
was dreadful. And it was just like a trip to theatre.
Yeah,
so bad.
It's a horrible place.
But is that
no
a Tottenham
atmosphere.
Problem or is that just a Wembley problem?
Oh, it's a Tottenham at Wembley problem.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Yeah, because they don't want to be there. It's true.
No, and it's.
I've been to Wembley before. And it's horrible.
It's not getting. I mean, they've got a box park place now next door where you go in there for drinks before and after, and it's like cheesy. Yeah, you go, hi guys, welcome. We've got some great cracking juice. Here's Gina G with a and all this sort of stuff. And you'll say you're in there thinking, oh, this is like enforced fun. There's nothing worse. And people go, oh, we're going to have fun whether you like it or not. Do you know what I mean? It's like that. So you have that afterwards and they've got people and it feels really weird. And it's going to be like, I think there's going to be elements of that at the new place as well, because they want you in for the experience. It's not called the Tottenham Megastore, the Tottenham Shop anymore. It's called the Tottenham Experience.
Oh, yeah. Let's, I've got to move on. Sorry. Just briefly on United. You know, one of the things are getting better. I know that you want Pochettino. Mm-hmm. Do you still want Pochettino at your club next season? Yeah. Do you think, I know what, I'm asking a question that I kind of know the answer to, but do you think you will get him next season? Oh, you're doubting it now.
It's not even about doubt. It's about,
whether you want him.
Yeah. I think that will come into play more so than with a Spurs, because if we wanted him, we would have got him. And that's no disrespect.
he would have come to United, in my opinion. So, and people saying, oh, but it's going to cost this amount. We would have paid it. Or it would have cost that.
The money's irrelevant.
It would have cost that. Yeah. I think that we would have got him. So whether we want him or not, in terms of how Solskjaer's doing, I still want Pochettino. Credit to Solskjaer, he's for me, he's passing every single test.
Yeah.
In terms of how he's, the tactics, for me, probably the most important, style of play, team selection, how he's treating the players in terms, not even necessarily how he's treating the players, but
really
what he's getting from the players rather than how he's treating them, because not that I don't care, but you have to get the best out of your guys.
As well.
And you have to get the best out of your guys.
He's also saying the right things as well.
He's saying all of the right things because he knows he's used to that environment and all that. And I've heard silly kind of points that, oh, is he a name to attract players? I think that's the most stupid. It's not the most stupid point, but I think it's not sensible. Is this manager going to attract players? Players do come to play for managers, but at the same time, players know that the turnover of managers is so high.
Doesn't really matter.
That I'm coming to play for him, but in 2 years, there's a chance that he could be gone.
Mm.
So they look at their pay, obviously. They look at the kind of overall project, the vision of the club and stuff like that. So for someone to say, oh, will this player come and play for Solskjaer? Is he a big enough name to draw? I think so. Was Guardiola a big enough name to draw in 2008 when he took over Barcelona? So, I don't know.
The point with that then is that he was with the B team going to the main team. He brought up a lot of those players that had played under him and knew him. So,
the point I'm making is that he was the under 18 coach, wasn't he? He was a reserve manager, so he knows these players as well. But the point I was making is that that shouldn't be a deal in terms of, you know. And I'm sure people would have still gone and played for Barcelona
without Pep.
Yeah, with Guardiola circa 2008 before he showed what a manager he was.
Yeah, yeah.
But in any case, I do want Pochettino. I've wanted him for the last few years, maybe since, I think, 2006 or so. A few months isn't going to change that. So, you know,
2006?
That's how long I've wanted him at United. 16, sorry.
I was going to say, I think he's still playing, wasn't he then?
Bloody hell.
Yeah, 2016.
Do you not think that there's a Fergie spectre that's kind of it does feel like Solskjaer is a bit of a, Ferguson's got his hand up his bum and sort of doing it as a puppet thing. Well, I think he's going to Ferguson quite a lot, which is not a bad thing at all. You've got that sort of,
I wouldn't go as far as saying a puppet thing, but you can see he's learned a lot from him.
I think he's still
apparently there in the
It will be stupid for him not to go and seek advice. But I don't think, I wouldn't go as far as saying he's it's a puppet type situation.
All right.
But you could definitely see he's learned from him. What he's doing is making the consolation, if we were not to go for Pochettino, a lot easier to take. Good attacking football.
Yeah.
Young players coming through and going up against teams, you know, and he's doing all of that. And he seems like he has an idea of how to kind of introduce young players. He's spoken well about building a squad. I don't care who the manager is.
My only thing is that I think if Poch was the guy that United identified, even when Jose was there, that they wanted next season, have they seen enough from Solskjaer to be deterred from what was originally the plan? He's not done a phenomenal job to be like, actually, we need to...
He's won, 9 in 10?
It's not phenomenal. He's not done a phenomenal job, is he?
What would be phenomenal? 10 in 10?
I'm talking like bigger score lines. I'm talking about beating...
Burnley. So 10 in 10.
10 in 10. Something that you're like, whoa, we need to really change our year plan to look at this guy.
It's close to phenomenal. He's 9 in 10.
He's done a good job. It's not phenomenal.
Anyway, okay.
But he's turned that shit around.
Couldn't have done better.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Jordan.
he was one goal away from
27 points out of 30.
I don't think it's a phenomenal
job. It's better than
job.
Good. You just said he's done a good job.
He's done a good job, and I like.
We've gone to Spurs and beat them.
But what I'm saying is that
can't think of any other big clubs.
It's a job that he's done good enough to make United rip up their year plan of the guy they wanted.
In any case, I think first and foremost, a director of football needs to be hired. That's the most important thing for me. And then with that, the kind of ethos of the club and all that kind of stuff needs to be decided.
All right.
The director of football needs to be the main person in terms of who the hiring manager
is. I think you should revisit this. In a week and a half.
I think it should be revisited later anyway.
Sorry, two
March,
and a half,
April.
2.5 weeks after they've played PSG.
I think March, that's April.
If they get past PSG and do it pretty, you know, well,
which I think they should.
I don't think you can not give them the job.
Yeah, I actually think we will.
But if he gets knocked out, did that go the other way then? You think, he's not good enough for the United?
Depends how it goes. But I certainly think, you know, in terms of definitive things that can happen, if you get past PSG and you do so pretty well, I don't think you can not give
them the job. Do you guys think United will get past PSG?
I think they will.
I think so.
Then they might well do. The problem is, of course, that this...
Jordan, what do you think?
There's a danger that this was...
Now Neymar's out, you will, yeah.
Yeah, Neymar not being there.
There's a real, very real danger, though, that this is just yet another...
Di Matteo.
They've got a history of making bad decisions, the Man United board.
And this is the turning point.
This is what I'm saying. If Poch was always the plan, being deterred now, is that just, are they just kind of getting emotional thinking, he's one of ours, he's been doing really well, all right, I'll ramp it up from good. Let's go with Solskjaer. Or if MP was the guy they really wanted, MP, stick with him.
The thing is, though, I think getting rid of the previous manager when we did was a bit of a turning point, because how we've been working, we would have probably seen that through till Champions League was mathematically impossible.
Yeah.
And then got him out. And that's probably just to kind of satisfy this whole United don't sack nonsense. So that's so I think that might have been a turning point. I think trying to get in a director of football is a more step in the right direction in terms of moving in line with the rest of the world. But you can't argue what Solskjaer's doing. I think there's a point in terms of how we do against Paris Saint-Germain. But I think the director of football, I think the whole structure needs to be defined first.
All right.
Before any decisions are made in terms of the manager.
Let me move on. Just finally, Tom. Bournemouth.
You don't care.
No, I do actually care, because we don't often talk about Bournemouth.
Bournemouth, just quickly. Bournemouth are kind of like bipolar ex-girlfriend. You never know what's going to happen next. You've got, like I say, 4-0.
I like Bournemouth.
I like them as well. Yeah. I think they're a good side. But Bournemouth, 4-0, Chelsea. And you just...
That Cardiff game was nailed on defeat, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Of course it was, you know, with having beat Chelsea 4-0 to then go to Cardiff on a very emotional day, of course, with Emiliano Sala, the first home game since he went missing. They play horrible long ball football. It was cold. We were missing our main midfielder who was out. We were missing Callum Wilson. It was nailed on to lose, and we did. So there you go. It's just a shame we didn't have money on it.
But being Bournemouth, that's not a bad thing. Do you know what I mean? You know you're going to get some great results, and if that's a...
Yeah, someone said to me the other day, they were like, or someone said on Twitter, and I responded to it, someone said, why is it that Bournemouth can you know, perform so well as they did against Chelsea, yet in other games, in the previous, I think, when we lost 11-14 on a run, 11-13, something like that, how come they can't do that? And I said, well, the point is, if the players were more consistently brilliant, they wouldn't be playing with Bournemouth, would they?
Yeah.
You know, that's why. So when they come together and they play brilliantly, they're a match for almost any side of the league. Almost, not every side of the league. Man City, we've notably never taken a point off. We've never beaten Spurs either, but they're the only two teams. But when they come together, they're fantastic. But they are, apart from, you know, a few players who could definitely play at the top level right now, David Brooks, Nathan Aké, Ryan Fraser, Callum Wilson, that's why they're at Bournemouth, because they're inconsistent.
Just briefly, do you think Bournemouth will win the Everton Cup?
What, coming seventh?
Jeez.
No.
No,
we've got a nice run.
You need to worry about it yourself, mate.
We've got Liverpool this weekend, and I think, could be wrong, but I think that ends our list of very difficult fixtures.
Okay.
And then we've got a really quite nice run in. Now, if we can play as well as we did against Chelsea, then there's no reason why we couldn't do. Mm-hmm. I just don't think we're going to have that level of consistency over the course of the season. Wolves look like they're really playing well. I sort of can't really look past them to be seventh, really. But, you know, we're through for another season in the Premier League, aren't we? My big disappointment this season, apart from my usual gripe about how we still haven't got a new stadium, is we're not able to increase the fan base, is this season was a real opportunity to potentially win the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the League Cup, because, you know, you could have got Man City in the final. So even if you'd have beaten Chelsea, you'd have to beat Tottenham and then Man City. That's unrealistic. Whereas you look at the FA Cup, who's left in it? Man City,
United.
Chelsea or United are going to go out. But really,
same for Spurs as well. We should have.
You're without a lot of teams there. It's a really great opportunity. If we'd have beaten, we went out against Brighton. If you'd have got past them, you got West Brom. Then you got Derby at home. and then you're into the real last stage of the FA Cup. And right now, we're on 33 points. We're not going down. Clear we're not going down. And you could have really just gone, right, this is a risk-free roll of the dice. And actually, as it's happened, it's actually a real possibility that we could have done well in the FA Cup because of all the big teams that are going out. But anyhow, clearly doesn't care about the FA Cup, whatever he says.
Or, and I've got to wrap up now, but or as we had Josh, as United fan on last week, made the point, we were talking about Everton, and he made the point that he hates the teams that they don't go for the cup, blah, blah, blah. But also, the remit from the Bournemouth chairman might have been, we want top 8, top 9 Premier League football. We don't care about the cup. So if that's the remit he's been given, he doesn't want to risk getting Callum Wilson injured in a cup game, and then you do lose five games in a row, and then you are in a relegation battle.
It's almost £3 million. Yeah. It's almost £3 million per spot. Yeah. So you know, if you that is right,
we get a logic.
If you finish seventh or eighth or ninth, and then you finish 15th, then that is almost £20 million, and that's a lot of wages for several players. So
we do get a logic, but going for a trophy all day, I mean, it's the name of sports, isn't it?
To win, but it's not the name of business. Yeah. But it's a sport.
Yeah, but if you're the owner, you don't care about sport, you care about business.
It's business sense.
But as fans, we care about the sport, really. This is
true. This is very true. Boys, cheers for your time tonight. Aki and Tom and Scott, cheers for coming on the pod tonight. Do not forget to subscribe to the podcast. We're on iTunes, on Spotify. Find us across all the socials as well. Until next week, peace.